Blog Talk Radio.
WATV Radio seeks to inform and engage the Bride of Christ to stand up and take your place in the army and the kingdom. We recognize our battle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities and the powers of the air. We are a ministry of prayer, and we highlight what God is doing through other ministries and ministers across the globe. We provide a platform for ministers and a place for the bride to come together and rally around each other, hold up each other's arms, and pray for one another. WATV Radio celebrates the various missions that God has called each one of us to in this army, so we desire to promote and enhance the bride as a whole. Go Bride! Our soon coming King awaits.
This is a WATV disclaimer. The views and opinions expressed in this show do not necessarily reflect the views of We Are the Bride Ministries, We Are the Bride Radio, or We Are the Bride Television. Thank you.
Welcome to Bride Time Live. This is your host today, Dr. June Knight. Listen, Bride, it is my honor to host ministers from all over the world. We are honored to hear their life stories because it is for God's glory. What is their journey like? Listen with us today as we give God glory for this person. Amen.
All right, Bride, hello. I'm so excited to be with you today on WATV Radio and on Facebook. Listen, Bride, I am so honored to have my friend on here today because he is an experienced missionary. He went to Bible College for Evangelism and Missions, which is where I met him. And today I asked him if he would mentor the bride because as I traveled the nation last year, the Lord had me pray over Miami, Florida, and to prophesy that we will send out more missionaries from the United States than ever in history. So I know this is the heartbeat of God, is for people to rise up, taking their place in the army of the living God, doing the mission that God has called them to do. So hello, Frank. How you doing, sir?
Hello. Hello, everybody. How are you, June? So happy to reconnect with you again. I've been following your ministry on Facebook. I've been praying for you. You know, I don't always call in, but when I see you going through things, I'm going through things because I'm interceding for you and your family. You guys are so nice to me in Bible school, your children, and I remember you invited me over to your house out there, and I tried your sweet tea for the first time, and this is a great experience.
Yeah, now, Frank, you got to tell the world that I am famous for that sweet tea.
Yeah. Yeah, it was good. It was good.
Yes, listen, kids. Bible college kids would come over just to get a glass of tea during the week. That's how famous it was. But anyway,
yeah.
I'm going to read a little bit of Frank's story just to lay the foundation of what we're going to talk about today. Now, Frank's wife is named Carla. She was my Bible college professor, and she taught missions. And listen to what he says about both of them together. Carla and I both have a heart for planting churches, missions, and evangelism in third world countries. We started by helping CEM Ministries in Rahimri, India, where we actually ministered to 300 children in their orphanage, helped in their hospital, built by donations that cost $1 million to build, a Christian school, mission school, and in other surrounding churches under that ministry. CEM at that time had 268 churches planted under them, and they are seeking God to plant 1,000 churches total. After this work, God has opened the door for us in different parts of Asia, like Mongolia, Malaysia, Beijing, China, and we believe God wants us full-time on the mission field in the 1040 window. We are looking forward and being a part of the kingdom of God moving forward in these parts of the world for His glory. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to serve you. Now, I would like to ask you something, Frank. First of all, what is 1040 window? What is that?
You know, it's all Asia. It's all, you know, you're talking about all the Arabic world, you know, the whole part of Asia, you know, all that area there where it's kind of real dangerous right now to preach the gospel. But I'll never forget in Bible college when the Lord has spoke that to me and I had written that down and I had mapped all that out. And, you know, it's like Indonesia, Malaysia, all them areas there. You know, I never... Yeah, and Bangladesh, you know, India, which we've been to, you know, all that area there, kind of the dangerous areas. But, you know, when God calls you there, He'll provide. And, you know, God is starting to move, starting to open up the windows to go there, starting to open up the door. He's connecting me divinely with people to invite me out that way. And so, you know, we're just thankful.
Well, I would like to ask you something. Now, we went to Bible college back in 2005, 2006, but I would like to ask you to spend a moment. Let's talk to the bride. These are people that are asking God, like, what to do. Can you talk to her and tell her, how did you know that you was called into the missions field? Can you talk to them a few minutes?
Yeah, you know, I'll go back to, you know, something kind of old-fashioned. Maybe, you know, people don't want to hear it, but it began with a lot of prayer. You know, I deeply sought the face of God before I was in Bible college. And while I was in Bible college, I had my own apartment. I lived by myself. I basically went to school, went to work, came home and prayed all night and went back to school. And during that time, you know, God did a mighty work inside of me. And during that time, He spoke many things to me, you know, and I believe if there is a desire, if this person is asking, how did I know, she already has the desire to be there or to go or to be on the mission field. It's already there. All she has to do is just pray through, just, you know, because the Bible says, you know, our desires are His desires, but we have to get to the point where our desires become God's desires. So what we desire is what He's already desiring for us. But if she's asking that question, if that question is there, she's already have a desire to be on the mission field. It will come to pass. She just has to faithfully seek the Lord and ask God to direct her and send divine intervention in her life and just keep speaking to her. And she will definitely know. And then you have to wait for Him to call, because I was invited for the first time to go out to India, and I was invited, and it took me 2 years until I heard from God. Then I went, because you don't want to go unless God is there, especially when you go to a different third world country. You don't want to be there in the flesh. You want to be there in the spirit. So if you just keep praying, be faithful, God will do a quick work, and God will answer you. He's looking for laborers right now. You know, the harvest is plenty. So He will answer you if you want to go on the field.
Now let me ask you this, Pastor. Would you say that you can be a missionary even in your own community? Like, it does not have to be a third world country. You can be a missionary in your community, in your city, in your state, even in the United States. What do you say about that?
Well, yeah, you know, as you know, June, you know, being, you know, a missionary is you know, somebody who evangelizes, somebody that who builds, somebody that teaches, somebody that does more than just, you know, going to a third world country. So absolutely, you can, you know, do an outreach to people right here in the United States and do missionary. We went to the Appalachians. That was a missionary trip. You know, God is looking for people just to get out there to be a mouthpiece for Him. You know, and evangelism and missions go very well together. So you absolutely can. You know, I think God is looking for somebody just even to speak to your neighbor right next door to you. You know, it's the fact that we don't stay quiet. You know, we have to keep doing something. You know, and the United States also needs people to get out of their comfort zone and get out there and start talking about the Lord and showing their gifts and allowing their gifts to be used to reach the heart of the people, to bring them to either repentance or bring them to Christ or what have you. Yeah, that could be a good, great start. I started doing outreaches in Chicago before I went to India and started going to third world countries. So that's a good stepping stone to actually be on the field.
Well, let me ask you this, Pastor, another question. I would like for you to talk to the bride a minute about the cost. What does it involve? What is the not money cost, but I mean the cost of the call? Can you talk to us about that a minute?
Yes, and before I do, I forgot to say we have Pramod from India. He's actually under the ministry that we've established when we went out. I just wanted to say hi to him. Hi, Pramod. He's from Rajahmundry, India. He was my interpreter when I was in India. He was actually my wife's interpreter when she was ministering. We're in India.
Oh.
And I want to give him a shout out.
Yes, all right. Now talk to us about the cost, Pastor.
Well, the cost is, God will say to you, will you pay the price? Because, for example, now we're thinking about now moving to Asia. So we can constantly be involved in the work, and the cost is great. I have a six-figure job. My wife has a six-figure job, but you have to walk away from that. You have to walk away from the conveniences of being in America. If you're called to a third world country, you have to sacrifice things financially-wise and go without so you can get yourself debt-free so you can leave this country and leave it in good standings. You know, you're kind of shunned away from your family that don't understand what you're doing as much as you try to explain it to them. So, you know, there's a little bit of, resentment there from family member because some of them will take it personally that you don't want to be around them. You don't want to be in the same country as them. There's things that, you may have to sell all your possessions. You know, if you're home, you have to get rid of your home if you can't afford to keep it while you're out there. You just basically give up your whole life. So, for example, we got back from Bible school 10 years ago, so everything now that we built for 10 years is going to be depleted now, But we had the feeling 10 years ago that we're going to be going, but you don't know when, so you don't want to just stop your life. You still want to go on living on here the way you're supposed to, So we've, progress in our jobs, progress in our finances, and we end up buying a real nice home. We end up establishing ministry things out here in the U.S. But, slowly they have to be dissipated away. The Bible says when there's a point in the Bible, the Lord was talking to a man who had a lot of money, and he said, "What does it take to follow you?" And he said, "Sell all your possessions." Well, the man didn't like it, and he ran away, but in this instance, when God calls you, you don't run away. You just sell all your possessions, give your money to the poor if you can, and you just go and you let God bless and do what you're supposed to do, because everything here, is just material, and it's God can replace anything. So there's a material cost, and there's also, relational costs, and then, you sometimes spiritual costs, but, it's all for the good of Christ.
Yes, now I want to review, because I wrote down what you said, Pastor, the cost of being a missionary. Something that the church needs to consider is integrity. That was a really good point about the integrity, because when you're leaving your, land, you want to leave everything on the up and up with mankind. So you want to walk in integrity, have your bills paid, have everything closed out, have your neighbors be peaceful with you, your pastor. Is that what you're saying, right, about integrity?
Yeah. Yes, you know, the old adage, you don't want to burn any bridges. Yeah, you want to be integral before you leave. You want to be in good standing with everything. So if you do come back to the States for any reason, you want to be comfortably be able to reestablish, reconnect, and you know, be able to help yourself when you come back to the States. You know, let's say if you're in a third world country for 10 years, you want to come back, you want to have your credit in good standing and everything, or you know, we're going to be actually working out there when we move to Asia. We're actually going to have jobs teaching English, and so we're going to have jobs already set up. You know, sometimes if you're that fortunate while you're doing missionary work to have a job and earn income, you can, you know, you can continue paying your bills from out there till you get debt free. The bottom line is, yes, finish what you have to pay. Don't leave like that, because that's not really the will of God. God's not calling you not to pay what you owe somebody, not to pay what your commitments are, and just go do work for him. So, you know, he'll bless you. He'll bless you if you, you know, if you really have a heart to do that, he'll help you do it.
Yes, that was very good. The second thing was the family cost. I want to review that for a minute, because what you were saying, Pastor, is that when God has called you to be a missionary, there will be family members that won't understand, maybe even your church won't understand, your friends won't understand why you're leaving this lucrative salary, this beautiful home, and the average life of a person, basically. And you're leaving this to obey the Lord. Can you talk to us a little bit more about the family cost and encourage others that maybe that's been a stronghold in their life?
Yeah, I would like to first encourage others, if there is persecution coming away from the family, just try and show as much love as you can, you know, and be at peace, even though it's very hurtful. But just try and be at peace, trying to just stay focused and don't let that throw you off your course. I've already had family members calling me now saying, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? And you're not going, and, you know, stuff like that. But they said that to me when I left Chicago to go to Ohio to go to Bible school, which was a state 5 hours away, you know. So it's just, you know, you know, the Bible says to be your own like believers, you know, don't be unequally yoked, but that's your family. So you just got to get through it and ask God to help you. And maybe some of them will get saved during this time, because, you know, it will, you know, when they know they're not going to see you, their heart may be more open and more tender to you, maybe even to witness to them. But it is a cost, and I don't associate with, I would say, more than 2/3 of my family since I even got the call to go to Bible school, because they just don't understand. And when I see them, they kind of look at me like I'm from Mars or something, you know, because I used to be this radical, you know, crazy Italian kid, you know, and then all of a sudden, you know, they see me and I'm talking about Jesus every 2 minutes and loving the Lord, you know, and just have a changed disposition on everything. So, but, you know, God will help you be faithful, try to be strong, try to be compassionate, try to be understanding, but don't let your foot get, you know, dashed upon a stone, or don't get thrown off your track, because the ultimate thing is, we don't please man, we please God. And I even had to go against my father, who I love dearly, which was telling me, he was telling me this was all wrong, you know. So I even had a disassociate from my dad for quite some time. But praise God, before he passed away, he did receive the Lord. So it did pay off. But on his deathbed, he received the Lord. And it was a great thing. Carl and I were ministering to him in his room, and he had tears in his eyes, and he really received God. And he's seen the fruit, you know, he's seen everything that I was. It wasn't just a phase. You know, that's one thing. We have to stay strong in our faith, because if you're going to make a declaration like this to your family, you know, let's say 1 month and the next month you're doing something different, you know, that just, you know, it's a bad witness. So you have to stay strong in your faith, strong in your belief, strong what you're saying. Show them the different part that God has changed in you. Let them see by the fruit of your life, not by the talking of your lips, but just by the fruit of your life. Let them see what God has done. And that was the best defense I could do after, you know, the first few months that we were going back and forth. I just decided I'm just going to let them see God in my life instead of me telling them about God. And those that wanted to be around me stayed around me, and those that decided not to, they kind of lovingly cut me off. You know, not in a bad way, we're not in bad terms, but they just decided it wasn't for them.
Yeah, Yes, I'm going to tell you, Frank, now I'm over here, I've got tears in my eyes about your father. I think that's wonderful, Frank, and I'm so happy for you as a friend. You know, your father, that just really blesses me. And, you know, you made such a good point that when you're telling your family and friends that God has called you to this and they don't understand what you're doing and they're watching you step into the waters of faith and they're watching you obey the Lord at all costs and how you're losing everything and you've given up everything and you still go anyway, you know, it will, in the end, it will cause them to want to step out into those same waters. But like you said, if you fall back and people see you fall back, it hurts the gospel. Amen, friend.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. You know, my mother, before she passed too, actually received the Lord also. Now, we are raised strong Catholics, so that's why it's a miracle, because my uncle was a Franciscan monk in Italy. He had his own, he was with the Franciscans, and he's been ordained since the age of 14. In Italy. And then, you know, the Roman Catholic Church gave him his own monastery, so he had his own church and everything. But everything that was happening to me, he was checking back and forth with Italy, and you know, that's why he was saying it wasn't right. But lo and behold, you know, it took a long time. It took a good 10 years. That's what I want to encourage the bride too. You know, don't give up. Don't give up, because, you know, some people would be saved exponentially. You know, some people immediately will, you know, the power of God will come on people and they'll be saved. But, you know, some people, you know, it just takes a little while. And I thank the Lord, and I'm humble to him that I was able to keep my faith all the way through the persecution from my dad, which, you know, I just recently posted some pictures online from him. After 7 years, I was finally able to look at him in pictures, and a lot of people are saying, you look just like him. Well, I was just like him. You know, I had the same heart. He had a great heart, and that's why it hurt me very much, but I had to, you know, keep going around him because I wanted him to be saved. I want to see my parents in heaven, and I thank the Lord that he's given me the ability to keep in the same path and not fall to the wayside. And every time being around him, always saying the same things and being steadfast and not letting my dad hear any kind of change or doubt in my voice, because it led up to him allowing me and my wife to minister to him after he put down the way I was worshiping God. And he said, if you're not Catholic, you're going to hell. After he said so many bad things about it, you know, so many things that he's come against as far as, you know, the Bible and everything, and if it's not Catholicism, you're going to hell. And but God softened his heart, and that was where the miracle's at. And I thank God I was a part of it. And I'll see my daddy in heaven. I'll see my mom in heaven. And I'm very, very grateful and humbled to the Lord. If nobody else saved, but just them, you know, I'm very happy.
Now, Frank, I did have to tweet that, because that is such an amazing story that you went on with the call, you pressed forward with the call amongst the persecution that you received from your mother and father, all them years of them not understanding your call. They were Catholic, didn't understand it. But then in the end, when it counted, they converted and got saved before they died. And then now you will see that your reward will be when you get to spend eternity with them in heaven. That was great. Yeah. Now, Pastor, I would like for you to talk to us a little bit about the area of possessions. You brought this up when you was describing the cost that we pay to be a missionary. When you say possessions, can you talk to us about that, when you said that about Jesus and the guy with possessions?
Yeah, when Jesus was, you know, in his ministry, you know, there was a rich man that said, you know, what does it take, you know, to follow? I want to be, you know, with you in your kingdom. And the Lord looked at him and said, sell all your possessions and give your money to the poor. And, you know, the man looked at him and just basically took off, because, you know, the Bible says, you know, the needle is hard to go through. The eye of the needle, you know, it's easier for a camel to go through it than for you to enter the kingdom of heaven. You know, there's sacrifices when it comes to the Lord. He told us, you know, that we're going to be going through all this. We're going to be going through persecution. There's going to be sacrificial, we're going to have a type of sacrificial living. You know, there's beautiful times and there's sacrificial times, and you know, God has given us a beautiful home. He's given us nice cars. You know, I own a Harley Davidson motorcycle, which I now am going to have to sell. You know, he's just giving you so many things, nice clothes. He's giving you, you know, a very comfortable home. You know, we have a home. We're on 12,000 square feet of land here in Illinois, you know, and, you know, it's a very nice home. And, but, you have to weigh out your differences. Do you love the home? Is the home your guide? Is the property your guide? Is the Harley Davidson motorcycle your guide? Is the,
come on,
the two
Pastor.
Automobiles your guide? Or is God your guide? You know, none of this stuff is going to bring us into eternity. And, you know, it's like, you know, in the old days, this would be like worshiping an idol. We don't, our God is not an idol. Our God is alive and on the throne. And I just had such a great experience with the Lord. You know, I was not doing good in life until the Lord came into my life. And, you know, there's a deep in love for me. And I would, you know, give everything away, get it back, give everything away again, get it back, give everything away again. If it meant coming closer to the Lord, you know, I'm set. My mind is set forward on the Lord and the things of the Lord. And I thank God that he allows me to hear him. And I still have a desire to deeply seek him out in prayer and study in the Word of God, which is how I have my communion with him, which is how, you know, for the lady that's calling in, how I hear his voice and how I get to understand what he wants for me out of my life is the Word of the Lord, by the washing of the Word and by the renewing of my mind and by the praying, the deep-seated praying and intercessing about my life and about things in this country and about, you know, people that I've been around that God has seen my heart, you know, and that I want just the things of God. You know, it's hard to keep the fire in Chicago. Believe me, we were in Bible school in Ohio. Where everybody's on fire. You're in Bible school. You know, every day it's a day dedicated to the Lord. But you come back here to Chicago, you know, these Chicagoans, man, they're tough. You know, even people that are in the church, they're tough. You know, it's hard to convince them that, you know, the power of God, you know, they know God, but the power is not there. And you know, there's a lot of Catholics, you know, it's just hard. You have to keep the fire yourself, you know, and then God will line you up like believers, you know.
Pastor, I want to ask you something else about possessions, and then we're going to take a quick little commercial break. But when you said that about the possessions, what came to my spirit is that word that says, the love of money is the root of all evil. It's not that money is the root. It's not that possessions are bad. It's that the love of it, to where you can't give it up because you have to have it. That is what you're saying. You have to let it go in order to follow the call, and the same with money. Okay, Pastor, listen, we're going to take a quick little commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to encourage the bride to follow their call. And we're going to receive more mentoring. One moment.
Amen.
Hello, bride. Are you a writer? Or do you have a story to tell and maybe you need a little help with your writing? Well, go to Treehouse Publishers today. We can help you achieve your dream. Dreams come true in our house. Do you have a book just waiting in your spirit to come out and share with the world? Well, Treehouse Publishers will help you to achieve your dream. Write that book today. Sell your book in London, in Africa, and many other countries. Let your tree bear much fruit with Treehouse today. Go to www.gotreehouse.org.
Okay, Brian, welcome back. This is your host today, Dr. June Knight, coming to you right outside of Nashville, Tennessee. And listen, Brian, we have a 40-day team that is praying every day at 8 o'clock in the morning Central Time. We are tearing down the idols in our nation, honey. Come on now. God has given us the dream, the mandate to repent, to come before the throne on behalf of what our nation has done to him, getting real with him. Now, We are going to Washington, D.C., February 28th through March the 4th. If you would pray and consider donating for the team to help pay for the trip, you can do that by going to our website at wearethebride.us. Also, you can check out all of our radio shows on watbradio.com. We are also on Facebook and Twitter at WATB Radio. Okay, Pastor Frank, listen, I've got a very important question. Okay.
Yes.
When you go to these territories and when you go to these third world countries and these other nations, now we know that our battle is not with flesh and blood. So we
yes.
know that the governmental authority that God has placed on you in the spirit, when you step off that plane and you step onto the ground into another territory of demonic warfare, how do you prepare for that? Can you talk to us about how to prepare in the spirit and maybe give us some pointers on what not to do concerning spiritual warfare over nations and territories?
Yeah, do you mind if I read a scripture first?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, one of the scriptures in Proverbs that has really encouraged me and I have highlighted in my Bible and that, you know, I meditate on it all the time that kind of leads into what you ask is Proverbs 4:20 to 27, which says, "My son, attend to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them, and health to all their body. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look right on, and let your eyelids look straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or turn to the left. Move your feet from evil." Now, this here, basically, every time I read this, even now, I get the chills so bad because, you know, there's. I know we have all these scriptures in the Bible, but there's some words that God is just going to make rhema to you, you know. And I took this very literally. You know, this basically describes everything you've been asking me for that lady that's called in. This is what you have to do to prepare your heart. This is basically God saying to fix yourself on Him. You know, and to keep your heart in line and to keep things in line, you know. And that's one, and the famous one that we all know is Matthew 28, where the Lord says, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So when I step off that plane, I know that God is with me at all times, you know. And also in the beginning of this, it's very important to understand the Lord says, "All authority has been given to me." That means it's already done. That means God is when He commands you and He instructs you, He's doing it under of a supernatural authoritative doctrine that the Lord has authority over everything. And the Bible says if you abide in Him, He abides in you. So you are with Him. You are under that authoritative doctrine, that authoritative power. When you come into these nations, when you stand in these nations, if you've allowed God to purge everything that's got to be purged out of your life so you can go to these nations free, so you're set free and you won't be attached to anything or any of the worldly things when you get to these things. Because the saddest thing that happens, I have a friend that became a new Christian, and my wife and I had been ministering to her a little bit, and she was really on fire and wanted to do mission work, and she got involved with the church sending things to missionaries, and she was preparing for her first missionary trip to the Ukraine, and there was somebody there's a gentleman that she really liked that she was telling us about and hoping things would work out, and you know, he decided to go on a mission trip before her, and he wasn't prepared. He ended up falling away from the church out there with a woman out there, and you know, and then he left the church and everything. And you know, it's a sad thing because missionaries are, you know, an example of God. When people hear about the missionaries, they're there for a specific reason. It's not like every corner you see there's a church and a pastor. Missionaries, people realize that they come there. They're coming to the country for a reason. They're coming to do some work there. And it's very important to set a great example. So if we understand we come under the authority of Christ when we step into these nations, that we have the authority from God, we've been called from God, you work in the apostolic because it's a sent one, you're a sent one, and you're there from God, and then you're there free. That's why it's very important that you hear from the Lord. When I was invited to India the first time, it took me 2 years to get the go-ahead from the Lord, and I thank God for this, my Bible school training, the friends around me that are Christians. I heard from the Lord to go. My wife and I heard at the exact same time that it was time to go. We both looked at each other and said, we got to go to India simultaneously. Even though the pastor was prophesying to us out there, it didn't stir us up. The Lord stirred us up, and he finally said to go. So that's the beginning of the warfare. The warfare is first getting yourself free and in the country you live in, or the area you live in first, to set yourself up so when you know that you're out there, you know that you know that you know, no matter what storm comes against you, you're already living it before you leave versus when you're getting out there, then trying to battle the spiritual warfare, because you should be prepared before you leave. You know, when somebody jumps into a pool for the first time, they're just not going to jump in. They're going to prepare themselves. They're going to talk themselves through it and they're gonna say, it's going to be okay, or this is going to happen. Or if somebody takes a big major test, they have to prepare before. They don't try and take the test when it's there. So you got to get your hearts ready. You have to get everything ready and in line spiritually. You seek the face of God spiritually. You ask God to show you what things are happening in other countries that you could start praying for now. Like maybe in the area where you're going to. Maybe God will show you there's a big stronghold there. Well, you need to come against that stronghold also while you're there, but mainly while you're before you leave for that trip. Let's say if you're in the U.S., mainly while you're in the U.S., start interceding for that country. Start interceding for the people. Start asking God to give you more wisdom, revelation, understanding about that country. And so when you're truly there, you can really be a mark for Christ, and you can really do true work, and God could use you like you would not believe when you're out there. You know, you want to be used as much as possible. You don't want to be stuck on your own issues when you're out there. You need to be an open vessel for the Lord when you're there, just under his command like a soldier. And, you know, just free and able to hear his voice and act without any doubt. So if there's anything that's doubtful in your heart, if there's anything that is holding you back, if there's things that you know you have to be purged from, if there's a stronghold in your life, if there's sin in your life, please don't go on these mission trips and say, well, you know, it'll work out. Let the Lord get a hold of you first, so you can be a true epistle of light when you're out there, so you won't be stuck, because you're going into a different country that obviously needs what God has put on the inside of you. So you want that to come to full fruition when you're out there. You know, you're being next to people that don't know about God, and they need to see the fullness. They need to see the full love. They need to see the full giftings. They need to see your full heart. You can't minister to them, and then at night you're falling in sin while you're out there. That's the worst deformation of being a missionary and going to a different country and showing the love of God. So we have to get ourselves spiritually ready here. You do warfare for yourself here. You plead the blood of Jesus over yourself here, and you declare Satan to take his hands off you and your walk with God and your family here. You do it all here. So you are free when you're out there, and you could do the true work of the Lord without any reservation. Amen. Hello? Yeah, hello?
Pastor, can you hear me? Hello? Pastor Frank? Bride, I apologize. I have my phone on mute. To you on the radio, listen, Bride, that's watching me live, they did not hear one word I said on the radio. Listen, this is what
yes,
I was saying on the radio. Yes, I hear you now, Pastor Frank. What Pastor Frank was saying is that ask the Lord in prayer, ask him to tell you about that country, show you the strongholds in that country, and then so that you can pray about it. What I was telling you, Pastor, which you could not hear me because I had my phone on mute, I apologize, is that when I started praying for the country last year during my 40 days last year with President Trump, the Lord, I feel like, deposited a seed on the inside of me, and I'm pregnant with the United States. Like, the love that I have for her is beyond, like, I would die for her type of love. That's the intercession, and when God gives that to you, and the heart of a country. Am I right, Pastor?
Yeah, I hope you can hear me, yes.
Yes, I can.
Okay, I'm back on. Okay, that was pretty little weird there. I was hearing your voice twice, doubled over.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, you can hear me, right?
Yes, I can hear you. So I want to ask you another question, Pastor.
Yes.
I want to ask you, give us some stories of you on the mission field, and I'm going to mute my phone so you have the floor. Give us some stories of you on the mission field. For those that are wondering what it's really like, will you be real with us and tell us what
Absolutely.
It's like, some of your stories?
Yes. Well, first of all, I want to let you guys know the way that I am. I lived in darkness most of my life, so when Christ came into my heart, I see nothing but light, and I've been on fire and had, you know, just a tremendous fire for the Lord ever since. So things that God asked me to do, other people look at and are like, I can never do that. I get joy in my heart to do that, even if, you know, God sends me to the most, you know, the places that are most rural. It's a joy for me. I get excited about it, you know, where other people, maybe they have a heart for it, but they can't get excited about it because, you know, maybe some things are hindering them, or maybe they run from the call. You know, or, you know, something that nature doesn't mean anything's wrong or bad with them. It's just that for me personally, I look forward for God to tell me to do things and send me places. So when I get to these areas, I get excited. When I went to India, when I was in Rajahmundry, India, it's very, very rural. I mean, people are living in, you know, in huts on the ground. But, you know, and there's no, it's not like America. You can't go to a store. Like, a store is like an hour away, and it was actually, you know, they're actually like stands, but, you know, there's no accommodations like in America, but that made me excited. No, I don't want to make anybody feel bad, you know, if somebody can't get excited about that, but it just the way I am, it made me very excited, and I was happy to be there. But some of the things are, when you get to the first country, get to the countries that you're called to, you know, I felt confident because, you know, I thank the Lord that I had time to get prayed up and to do all the things spiritually I need to do before I get to this country. So when I'm there, you know, I made divine connections right away. But, you know, it's a serious thing when you're there. You want to say, Lord, okay, I'm here. I listened to what you told me. Please instruct me. I want this to be a successful trip. You want to have success when you're on this trip. You don't want to waste any time. You want to be as respectful as you can to the custom of the people. For example, some of these countries, you shake, you know, there's a couple, you shake the husband's hand, you don't shake the woman's hand because it's a form of disrespect. Some of these people, when you go into their homes, they expect you automatically not to walk with your shoes on in their home. You know, some of these people want to be acknowledged for who's the leader of their home if you're invited to a house or a church. Times, you know, you can be out there and you'll be invited to ministry out there, and there could be doctrinal differences as far as, you know, not the main core differences, but, you know, maybe there's something that, you know, they believe and you don't believe, but, you know, praise God, just do what you do, just minister, be there, be there as a light, but, you know, you want to kind of be at a ministry that you're going to be equally yoked with anyways. But I'm just saying, just to give you another point of view, but, you know, and you want to be respectful to the way they're running ministry out there. You don't go out there and start, you know, like a bull in the china shop and say, hey, you're doing this wrong. This is not right. This is not right. These are people that have established third world country churches, and it's not like the Western church. It's not like the American church. And this is how they grew up having church. You want to come there to be a part of it, to be a blessing to them, to be an extension of what God is calling you to do out there, and show as much love as you can. You know, when Carl and I were out there, you know, it's not like you go in there, rush, 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 you're going to do ministry, you're going to preach, you're going to do this. You have to show by your life. You have to walk with those people, and they want to see who you are. They don't necessarily trust you just because God has called you there, and all of a sudden, here I am, I've arrived. No, no, I'm sorry, it doesn't work that way. They need to get to know you. They want to spend time with you. They want to see what you're really made of. They want to see if you're really true or not. So when you get there, you have to be mindful of the people sect, the people group that you're going to be around. You have to be mindful of them. You've really got to put yourself down. It's not what you want to do. First of all, you have to be directed by the Holy Spirit on what to do. But it's really, you want to show them that you respect them, that you honor them, that you're here in their country, you're here in their ministry to do whatever it is that can help them, that can shine more light and help them minister to their own people. For example, when we were in India, it was a huge campus out there. The pastor, you know, he has a lot of land on there, and God showed him 25 years prior a vision of all the buildings that were going to be built on there. And it's true. He's got a building that holds 300 children in the orphanage, and he's got a building that holds, one side holds the girls, one side holds the boys where they can live. He's got a missionary school there. There's a Christian school where he can teach his children the Christian way of life. And then there's another school on there for the Indian curriculum, going to school. So you just can't come to that country and see a man like that and think, you know, you're going to tell him a thing or two. That guy has worked 25 years establishing that ministry. So you just want to go there, be careful of what God has told you to do when you're there, be you know, open to what God wants you to do. Maybe you have some premonition, oh, when I get there, I'm going to do this, this, and this. But when you get there, maybe when you're this, this, and this is not going to sit right with the pastor. So you have to ask God, really, say, God, how am I going to do this exactly so it can be, first of all, successful, and you know, you want God to be prevalent there. Maybe some of the doctrine or some of the things that they do are not correct. So maybe God's going to use you to show them, but it's in a way that God is going to do. He knows how you can even reach maybe even the pastor and the pastor's wife and all the leaders there. You know, for example, my wife and I are like our 14th day in India in this campus. They've allowed us to speak and teaching on speaking in tongues, which they didn't think they were supposed to do. And lo and behold, my wife and I didn't check with each other that morning, but that morning, one morning, we both decided to teach on speaking in tongues after we got the release, because they have missionary classes there all day long. It's a powerful, it's a great ministry. And at the same time, my wife and I were teaching on speaking in tongues, and on the same time, the same moment after a time of teaching, the spirit broke out in both classes. She was in another building and I was in another building, and the spirit broke out at the same time, simultaneously, and it was an outpouring of the Holy Ghost, and these Indian people were speaking in tongues, and I have it in video on my website. You could see them, and it was just a powerful thing, you know, because we waited on God. We didn't take matters into our own hands. It's just like if you're invited to a church out here in America and you go in there, and the pastor says, you know, I have an hour and 10 minutes for you to speak. And instead of, you know, listening to him, you negate what he says. And lo and behold, you're speaking 2 hours and 10 minutes. You know, that's very disrespectful. So you want to be a good steward of what God has given you. And you want to be a good example. You even have to minister to them out there also. They don't always believe the saints the way we believe here, Bride. You know, because we're in this country and we have the fullness of the gospel. And we believe in everything of the gospel. their Christianity is limited to what they're taught and what they've learned, unless they've come to America and went to American Bible College, you know, to learn different. But their learning is what they've learned out there. So, you know, it may not always be what you think, so be prepared in that area, but just love them. When you go to these countries, love them. Show the love of Christ. It's very important that you show the love of Christ to them, and that will melt the hearts. Believe me, you show the love, you show them that you can walk with them in their lifestyle, they'll trust you to the end of the moon, and they're very faithful. Like I said, I have my brother Pramud. He's listening to this broadcast, and a faithful servant of God, calls me every week, tells me he's praying for me, praying for my wife, praying for my ministry, without fail, to the point where it's almost like I don't want him to call me, but I do. That's how faithful they are. Once you come alongside the people that sect that you're called to, and try to understand who they are, and don't be so bent on showing them who you are. Just be Jesus to them, and everything will work out. Amen.
Amen. Pastor, you brought up an excellent point about missionary work is culture. Learning, going over there in their territories, okay, and you're respecting their culture, and you're not trying to act like you know more than them or that you're better than them or that you're trying to Americanize them. I've heard a lot of people say, we hate it when people come over here and try to Americanize us, you know.
Yes.
Because you're disrespecting their culture and what they have learned. And so really what you're saying is, to boil it down, we walk over there in humility, right? And then we're just really there to serve them and to just be the love of Jesus and just obey the Lord. That is such good advice, Pastor. I mean, you're preaching so much meaty stuff today. We just really appreciate you taking the time to teach us this morning. But listen, before we get off here today, I cannot let you get off here without asking you one very important question, sir. If you could talk to the American church today and give them a word of encouragement, a prophetic word, a rebuke, or whatever, what would you say to her right now for 2018? Talk to us a minute.
Yeah, I would say for 2018, first of all, if you haven't already done it, Bride, I've done it. My wife has done it. Try to take, you know, Paul talks about taking an inventory of yourself, like especially before we take communion. Try to take an inventory of what you've done in 2017 and honestly ponder upon this. Get alone. Get yourself alone somewhere, which is you and the Lord, and under the illumination of the Holy Spirit. And ask yourself, God, have you really done all the things God has asked you to do in 2017? Or have you really asked God for all the things that you know you should have for his kingdom in 2017, because you don't want to start this year off in the same way. 2018, I love the number 8. It's new beginning.
Yes.
It's always a new beginning with Christ, okay? Even if you missed the boat in 2017, we have redemption here in 2018. It would be a good thing if you can get yourself alone with the Lord and yourself. Grab your Bible in case God gives you, you know, a passage or a word to look up. Ask God exactly what are you supposed to do, because this is a profound year. This year is a prophetic year. This year, I believe you're going to see a lot of things change this year in Christianity in America. You're going to see some people that, you know, are just going to be forwarded into their call. You're going to see people that are just going to be, You know, here I am today and gone tomorrow because they've been called to a different country. You're going to see, a lot of power of Christ is going to be evident in the believers. It's not a time to be doubtful. It's a time to be secure in your thoughts and your beliefs in Jesus. It's a time to, if you feel you have a call, if you feel like God has been knocking on your heart, it's a time to allow God to do what he wants to do with you. It's a time to come together. It's not a time to be prideful. It's a time to, you know, lay yourself down for your brother. it's some of these churches that are not going to survive anymore in this country because they will be purged away, because the true church is the ones going to be evident, the ones that have listened to Christ, the ones that have been truly following God and not following man and man's wisdom and man's doctrine. You're going to see a lot of changes this year. This is going to be a very prophetically powerful year. And I encourage you to take that next level of faith, the next level of your walk, and do something different to get the attention of God. Maybe you want to start out the beginning of this year with a fast. Get the attention of God. You let God purge you. If there's things that are in your life that you need to get out of your life, let God take it away from you. You don't want to miss what's going to be happening in 2018. Even for myself, you know, I want, you know, if there's anything I've missed, if there's anything that I'm doing that is wrong, if there's anything that is hindering me from really having that true, deepened relationship with the Lord, I want that out of my life. And another thing, Bride, pray. 2018 is a year for us to be on our knees and on our faces seeking God. It is so important that you step your prayer life up a notch. If you're praying 15 minutes in the morning, please pray 30 minutes. If you're reading your word 30 minutes, please read it an hour. Please allow God to do what he wants to do with the body, the bride, in 2018. It's a pinnacle point for the rest of our Christian walk and the rest of how God wants to start. You know, in these times, these are not the same times as before. You know, it could be the beginning of the end. These are the times that we really have to be intuitive to the things of God. And we have to be to the point where we have to inventory ourselves daily and say, okay, yesterday, was I supposed to do something that I didn't? Ask God to forgive you, move on, but pray. Prayer is what I'm hearing in my spirit. I'm hearing from other believers. I'm hearing from pastors. I'm hearing from prophets. Pray. It's important to pray and seek the face of God. And don't worry about anything else, because the devil is fighting a losing battle. All us believers, we know how it ends. We are the victorious ones. We serve somebody who's alive on the throne. You know, when I went into these countries, and, you know, you're dealing like in India, they have 333,000 different gods, you know. But I ask them, but is your God alive? Even like there's some Buddhists out there, you know, and Muhammad out there, you know, that they serve. And I say, but is your God alive? They say, no, he's dead. I say, well, guess what? My God is alive and he's on the throne. So how can a dead person give you any kind of miracles? And I tell them my God is alive. That's what our confidence has to be in 2018, that our Lord Jesus Christ, he's on the throne. He's at the right hand of the Father, and the Bible says that we are seated next to him. So we have everything under our feet. We are seated in heavenly places, and that means if we are seated in heavenly places, according to the word, that means that we have the same dispensation of heaven in our life. That means as we walk on this earth, we can walk with the things of heaven in our life. We don't have to wait to go to heaven to experience the things of heaven. We can have them right now. So let that be your peace. Let that be your portion. Let Christ be your portion and your strong tower. He is Jehovah Jireh Elohim. Let him be that to you in 2018. Maybe God wants to take people out of your life, and you have to be obedient, and that's another key word in 18, obedient. Please be obedient to God. Please don't miss an opportunity for you not to be obedient to the Lord. Because out of obedience, you will get your reward. Amen?
Yes. Pastor, that's a good word. Before we get off here today, I would love it if you would let us pray for you, the bride. Bride, if y'all would please bow your head, and let's all come together in agreement for Pastor Frank and his wife. Lord, we just come together today in agreement for this gentleman, Lord, and his wife. And Lord, we thank you so much for him mentoring us today, talking to us today, encouraging us today, causing us to go higher, Lord, in you today. Lord, we thank you for the very much wisdom that you have given this missionary, Lord, so that he can teach other people how to do it too. And Lord, so we ask you, we all come together in agreement, Lord, your bride across the world. Lord, we just wrap our arms of love around them today, Lord, holding up their arms. And Lord, we pray, Lord, that you give them all the tools and strategies that they need to accomplish the mission that you have called them to on the earth, Lord. Give them wisdom on how to get their affairs in order over here in the United States and how to close everything out, Lord, to prepare for where you're taking them, Lord, in the future. God, we thank you that you have went before them, that the doors are opening over there, Lord, and that you will give them much favor in territories, much favor in spiritual warfare. We partner with them in agreement over the strongholds, over these nations that they're going to, that they will come down to the will of the living God where you are sending them to go. Lord, we thank you for this time that we have had together today. Lord, bless him in all that he does, him and his wife, and in all of the mission that they are doing in the earth today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, Pastor, would you please pray for our ministry and then pray for the bride, please?
Yes. Can I interject and say one? Is it okay to say one thing?
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Don? I want to say, if there's anybody that feels like they're called to Asia and China, we have it set up where you can, if they can inbox me, June, if you can maybe give my information, they can inbox me. If they really feel like they're called to Asia, but they don't know how to go about it, there's a ministry already set up out there. They can come out there and they can start teaching English and have a job right away and make, you know, $2,500 a month. In money out there, American money to live, and then they could be hooked up with a ministry right away that's been out there for 10 years, a solid rock ministry. So it's not like they would have to go out there and they don't know what they're going to do, who they're going to be with. It's already structured. They feel called there. If they inbox me, I'll tell them how they can fill the application out online, and somebody will be getting back to them and trying to help them through the whole process. So if that helps somebody.
Yes, now, Frank, I know who you're talking about. That is very much an awesome ministry. If you do, Brian, if you want to go to Asia, this guy knows what he's talking about. You will see him on our WATB radio website and up on our Facebook page. Okay, Pastor, can you pray with us before we get off here?
Yeah. Okay, dear Lord, I thank you for my sister June, Lord. I plead the blood over her and her entire family, Lord, and over this ministry, Father. Because this is a ministry, Father God, that is a true blue ministry that is reaching the hearts of people across the nation and in U.S. Lord, I pray for the churches in U.S. I pray for the bride ministry, Father, that it can keep meshing with the churches in U.S. to bring and shed the light of you into these churches. I pray, Father, that you give wisdom to Dr. June. You give her wisdom, Father, from heaven and divine intervention. And blessings, Father God, and anything that you would need to keep functioning and keep this ministry going. I pray for the people that listen, they're under the sound of her ministry and under her voice, Lord, that you will keep calling the people in, Father God. This ministry will grow. This is an important ministry, Father, that covers a lot of tactical things that need to be addressed right now in the U.S., Lord. So I thank you for her heart. Thank you, Father, that you've given her ability to persevere. Lord, I knew her in Bible school, and I seen the struggles, Father. We've all been through the struggles. I seen how she's persevered, Father. Lord, she has beautiful children. I love her children, Lord, and she's blessed. And I ask you to bless her more, to be a blessing. Let her go to the next level of ministry. Let her go to the next level. Divine intervention, Father God, like she's never seen it before. I call heaven on earth into her ministry and into her life, Lord, that she will not go in lack, because if you call, you provide.
Yeah.
So she'll have everything she needs. Just in Jesus' name, Father, I thank you. And I'm looking forward to a praise report now. Something good is going to happen. Something supernatural is coming her way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now, Pastor Frank, I want you to pray for all of the bride out there that's listening and watching that feel a call on their life. I want you to pray that they would rise up and accept that call. Amen.
Yeah. So, hey, bride, I'd like to pray for you that if you do feel the beginning stages of being called to a nation, or are being called to do the missionary work and do work for the Lord, I just want to plead the blood of Jesus over you and declare and decree that your mind will be sound. The Bible says that our minds are, Jesus gives us a mind, okay, and not filled with fear. And I just plead the blood of Jesus over your minds and your spirits that you will hear the Lord clearly. And Satan, I command you in the name of Jesus, spirit of confusion, of doubt, and unbelief, you have no authority here. In Jesus' name, you get under our feet. We are the church, and you get under our feet. And I plead the blood over anybody that feels they have a call to go to nations. I want to encourage you in the name of Jesus to dig it out, to search, to ask God, and to take that leap of faith, to ask God to send divine connection into your life, that you can hook up with people that are doing what you want to do. Those are the people you need to be around. In Jesus' name. So I pray that, you, God will bring people into your life that are already in the country you want to be, that are doing what you want to do, that can lead you along. Because don't give up, don't doubt in the name of Jesus. That spirit of doubt has to go in the name of Jesus. And
come
I'm praying that you will not, doubt. You will not doubt it, because God gives us the desires. If it's in your heart, the Bible says it's up for us to dig out, dig it out. Dig deep. Get yourself encouraged in the Lord. Get your scriptures out. Get yourself encouraged. Dig yourself a new well. Dig yourself a new well and let God bring you and let God deliver you and let him bring you into the call. It may not be an easy thing. You know, it's been 10 years before God has done things for me. Not to say it's going to take that long for you. Maybe I was just a stubborn Italian, but maybe it's going to happen quicker for you. But I want to encourage you, if you don't give up, just hold, fight the good fight of faith for the Lord. The Lord has known you before the foundations of the world. He knows the call that he set upon you. He knows what he's going to be doing with you. Allow him to do what he has to do. So I pray that you are encouraged today. I pray that after today, you are really in 2018 going to make an effort to really seek out the things of God for your life. And then I pray that divine intervention, provision comes your way, and that you will have a brightened future, a successful future with the Lord, with missionary work and with ministry. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Now, Pastor Frank, before we get off here today, I just want to tell you from one sister to a brother that I'm very proud of you, brother. I'm very proud of you that you have persevered as well, and that you are still plowing the fields very strong, because now it's been, what, 13 years, 12 or 13 years. And I'm very proud of you that you're still in the fields. Well, God bless you, brother, in your mission there, and we hope to interview you after you come back.
Yeah, well, I'll be going to China for about five months, but you know, we can have connection out there too if you want. Maybe we can do a live broadcast from China.
Oh, that would be awesome! I would love it, brother. Hey, you have a good day. God bless you.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
All right, bye bye.
God bless.
Yeah, bye bye.